Ago about him being sick, and I've been sick ever since. bad number. You both. So, I'm sorry.
He was paying.
I'm paying publicly. Yeah, publicly. So maybe
that's a public appearance
there. Y'all just pray for me. I'll try my best. Yes, old Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
Could you explain?
Thank you.
How a man can be eaten.
Yeah.
And then live again. Well, that's just insane. Oh, Lazarus said, boy, I heard a voice. He spoke a lot to me. And death set me free. He called my name. Well, he called my name. Yes, and I heard his voice. Well, he called my name. And I made my choice. I knew that my life would be the same. After he called. Well, he called my name. They asked that he
Yeah.
Could you tell us about Jesus, his sycamore tree? He said, I climbed up to see the Lord pass my way. Then the Savior called out, they'll sing at your house. So I took him in. He forgave all my sins, and he called my name. Well, he called my name. And I heard his voice, but he called my name, and I made my choice. I knew that my life would never be the same after he called. Well, he called my name. Well, thank God he called. Well, he called my name.
Amen, son.
Amen.
You know, you know, it's people would think about how fragile life is. You know, I see it all the time. You know, people die day in, day out. You know, I see it. But, you know, this is just something that I heard the other day, and I can't say 100% it's true, but I know how it happened. But, you know, there was a 4-year-old child that was taken to the emergency room for a simple sickness. He died for whatever reason. He passed away. You know, so there's big graves and little graves.
Sure, sir.
And, you know, we all have, don't put your confidence in tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, your confidence in God be with the Lord, and if tomorrow comes, and praise God, he lives up
there. Amen. Amen, brother.
Because it happens. I mean, you might not see death much, but it's coming to you.
It is.
Coming to your house.
Yeah.
And eventually we're all going to, you know, that's the appointment date that. You know, we're all not going to miss it.
So,
the only thing I can say is that if you ain't worried about your soul, you better be.
That's right.
You know, you better be listening to what the brother says when he preaches and you know, and take heed to what he says. And if the Lord's dealing with you, you better be stepping out and picking that thing up.
Like that's right. Yes, sir, brother. Love you, brother. Yeah. You boys that song?
Sure.
You've been my life for so long. You were right and I was wrong. I can't repay you for the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there for you the best thing that ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. So take my life and make it what you had me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed friends, all life's joy you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile.
Yeah.
So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is your word. So take my life and make it what you have me be.
Yeah,
for I'm your child, and you're my father. I'm the clay, and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen, son.
For I'm your child, and you're my father. I'm the clay, and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing
sure is,
that's ever happened to me.
You know, if you can't say it today, you come to know Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But I'm telling you my friend right now. He's the best thing. I bet it's ever had.
Amen.
He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. Brother, you can lay your head flat. And you know what, brother? I don't care what's taking place around you. You can lay down your head and know one thing for sure. As he descends from the heavens.
Amen.
The Bible says, under the heaven gate.
That's right.
If you don't know Jesus today, you know what? You are. Maybe you were sick. I won't break. You know what? When you get in that place, you're not coming out. And you know what? The good thing is, God loves your heart more than that.
Amen.
He shakes his hands.
These kids Wednesday night asked Brother James to get up and sing a song.
Damn, you won't help him.
Yeah, I won't help him. he said, I don't want to get up there and sing. I ain't a singer. I said, these kids asked you to get up and sing. Bless God, you need to get up and sing.
That's right, brother.
We went out there and shared his testimony with them and scared them half to death. And that's what he said. We love you, brother.
Bless him, Lord.
I thank God that God put me here.
Yeah.
Thank God for everything in my life.
Yeah, brother.
I said this the other day, I get down now, like everybody else, and I'll be down now, this is all my problems, and I'll hear about somebody got a whole lot worse off than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We ain't got no problems.
That's right.
In life. And when we do, I tell you what, if you're saved, you got somebody that you can go to.
Lean on.
But I tell you what, I look forward when I get in there and call out on his name. I believe all my heart that he hears.
He does,
yeah.
Brother James. He does.
Bro, when I first got saved, I didn't understand. I thought when you pray and God just snapped his finger and answered it, and it don't work like that.
No.
He can do that if he wants to, but it don't always work like that. Most times it ain't gonna work like that. I try to sing a song and I don't have as much wind as you do, but don't really know why, brother. I just got worse. My breathing was getting worse and worse, but I thank God for what I did.
Bless your heart.
Bless him, Lord.
Hey, life without an airplane, transportation on silver wings, carried home by the master.
Yeah.
It's enough to make me sing when Jesus comes. That morning,
like a bird,
I'll be on the home.
Yep.
What a wonderful way to
Out to somebody else, and we'll just go do what we need to do. But
God,
isn't it amazing that you get the Bible and loving people and preach the truth that God's got a way of folks getting saved, folks growing, getting their lives right with God.
Amen.
What a blessing that is, folks.
Joy of
what a blessing. Got your Bible this morning. You ain't got to go far to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And I don't want you to run from truth now. I want you to hear what the Bible's got to say to you. It'll help you. Genesis chapter 4. Very, very, very familiar portion of Scripture here. God's got something to say to you and help you today in some area of your life. And I believe that's what the preached word does. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, we'll pick it up in verse 9. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" God wasn't asking him that question because God didn't know the answer to that question. God knew exactly what had happened. God knew exactly where Abel was. But sometimes God will ask you questions to get you to do a little searching. down in your heart. Are you listening?
Yep.
God will ask you some questions, some tough things, and put you in some places to get you to question some things down in the recesses of your heart. The Bible says that He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." This first time the word blood is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned right here, and it talks when we see it mentioned here, that it cries out from the ground.
Yeah.
Now he said, in verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou killest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. I shall be as a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me."
Yeah.
He says, "It's too much, Brother Shad. I can't take this. It's just too much that you're putting on me, God." You know, he never once took responsibility for anything he did. He says, "Say, God, you're just being too tough on me." You know, this way people are, they don't want to take any responsibility for their self or their lives, and it's always God's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. It's the school's fault. It's somebody else's, always somebody else's fault. Verse 15. "And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." Verse 17, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Bible says Cain went down and got him a wife. Who did he marry? He could have married his sister. He could have married his cousin. He could have married his great niece. Don't get tied up in all that. Yeah. I can show that to you in the Bible. Okay. At times it was different than it is from you and from me. So don't get caught up in worrying about all that. That's who he married. He married his sister, or he married his niece, or a great niece, or whatever. That happens still today right here in these mountains. People do the same thing. Ain't right, but it still happens.
Amen.
But anyway, Bible says here that God set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. God put a mark upon Cain, and you don't know what the mark is, and I don't know what the mark is, and nobody else knows what the mark is, but God knows what the mark is, and God marked him that all the days of his life, listen, that anywhere that he went, God knew where he was at, and he couldn't do anything about the mark. He couldn't rub it off. He couldn't have it surgically removed.
No, sir.
He couldn't wash it off. That mark was on him from that point on. Cain was a marked man for life. Cain was marked down in his cell for all of life and all eternity. And it started right here in Genesis chapter 4 when God said, "What have you done, Cain?" A Cain had sinned, friend. A sin had come into Cain's life. And Cain had slew his brother. But God said this. God said, "Cain, before this, God said, Cain, if you don't take care of this matter, a sin will rise at the door, and his desire will be for you." And you better listen to me. You better keep short books with God, friend. God keeps good records, brother. You better believe that. And don't think you're going to sin and get by with it. Don't think you're going to play around with sin and it's going to be okay. I can show you from the Bible where sin is an awful thing. You know why this world is in the mess that it's in? It ain't the school's fault. Cain and Abel didn't have a school. It ain't the TV's fault. Cain and Abel didn't have a TV. It ain't the internet's fault. Cain and Abel didn't have the internet. It's something that lies down in the heart of every man and woman, boy or girl that's sitting here today. Or listen on the internet. And that is sin. That is death in your heart. If you don't take care of the sin, it's lying at the door. The picture there is of an animal that's crouched down, waiting.
What's
a
God get by with it. You might get by a little while. Hey, but listen, sin slows on your trail, and sin will catch up to you. You see, sin, it takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. It costs you more than you want to pay. And sin is the problem. Not only will sin, will it hunt you, it'll haunt you. David said, he said, my bones ache within me. You lay in the bed and toss and turn across some sin that you played around with, or some sin, or some wickedness down in your life. It's like a ghost, and it never goes away. And it comes, and it'll haunt you. It'll haunt your mind. It'll haunt everywhere you go. That's what sin does. Sin not only will haunt you, sin will only haunt you. Sin will hinder you from doing the work of God. Sin will hinder you in this life. You say, what do you mean? Samson was a mighty man.
Amen.
The strongest man in the Bible. And he played around with sin. And the Bible says that he got up and he shook himself like he did before. Yet he did not know the power of God. And fell off him. And he lost his strength. He lost his power with God. Hey, don't play around with sin. Keep short books with God. Because sin will hunt you. Sin will haunt you. And it will hinder you. And sin will affect you in your health. That's why the AIDS hospitals is full this morning. Sin. Are you listening to me?
That's right, brother.
Many is laying out. Listen, I've had family member after family member, Brother Jamie, and lay down there and died on their own vomit. I was a dog. I've had family member after family member lay out there in the VA with cirrhosis of the liver. And I'm dying at blame. I didn't want to hear God. I wish Budweiser would show that on their Super Bowl ad.
Yeah,
I wish old Mitchell would show that on their ad. I busted up home.
Yeah,
man, laying in the corner. I'm dying on his own.
Yeah.
I wish I would put that out there. I want people to see.
Yes, sir.
Hey, silence to our life.
Hey, hey.
We're going to put that out.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Won't the government put that out there? Some old girl out there.
Absolutely.
Some old red somewhere. Somebody made one.
Yeah.
Somebody hooked on pills, stealing and selling their body for $20-$50 so they can get another fix. That's what sin does in a person's life.
That's good.
And he said, if sin ain't took care of, he said, Cain, it's laying at the door. It crouches like a beast. Hey, listen right now, some of your lives. Sin's just laying there like a demon. It's crouched over. It's just waiting his turn for a chance to hop on you and rip your life and mark you for the rest of your life. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, God said, Cain, if you don't get this took care of, it lies at the door. And I'm telling you, if you play around with sin, honey, you play around the things of the world, it'll mark you for the rest of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening to me? Sin does that to you.
Yeah.
Oh, listen. I'm going to tell you. Bible says, oh, Abraham. Hey, listen, he got marked too. Oh, Abraham and Sarah. Hey, listen, Abraham, the patriarch of our faith. Hey, listen. Abraham was promised a son. God met with him and said, I'm going to give you a son. He said, Sarah, I know you're old. I know your womb seems barren. But I'm going to give you a son. Brother Jamie, God promised a man to give him a son. Oh, but listen, they grew impatient on God and tried to help God in the flesh. Oh, Sarah said, here's my handmaiden. Here's my slave. Her name Hagar. Hey, Abraham, won't you just go and get with Hagar and have a baby? Because God has got up my womb. Hey, God promised them that they was going to have a baby. If he wanted to wait till they were 500 years old, to have that baby. He could do that. Because he's God. But they tried to help out God. And God in the flesh. Hey, listen. And Abraham had a child. Hey, listen, with Hagar. Hallelujah, not to serve. Name Ishmael. And God said his name be Ishmael. And his hand would be against every man. And every man's hand will be against him. Oh, Israel's still going today in the Middle East. I called the Aram. Her hand's against every man. And every man's hand is against them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you get out here in the works of your flesh and you play around in sin and don't follow the promises of God. It'll mark you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Oh, God will forgive you. Oh, yeah. God will forgive you. He tried to work with Cain. He tried to get Cain to repent. And God will do that to you. He'll go with you, buddy, far away. He's long-suffering and merciful. A whole lot long-suffering and merciful than we are with each other.
Sure
is. God is so long-suffering. And listen, He forgave Abraham. He forgave Sarah because He knew that they had made a major mistake. But that major mistake caused problems all the days of their life. I'm telling you, why are you preaching this, preacher? Because I don't want some of you to get out here and go against what God said and mess your life up and mess things up. Or maybe you're on the teeter-totter. Or maybe you've already been there. You can nod your head and say, yes, I'm marking my life because of something that I've done in the flesh, or because I play around in sin. Hey, listen, it leaves an imprint on your mind. It leaves an imprint on your soul. Hey, listen, that you've got to carry with you. That'll haunt you. Worse than any ghost. It'll haunt you. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, it'll hinder you if it don't get took care of.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 34. Odd story.
Good preaching, buddy.
Odd passage in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 34.
Bless you, Lord.
Jacob married Leah. He didn't want to, but he married Leah. It was never God's intent for that to happen, by the way.
No, it was.
Huh? Nope. First place you find where man's got multiple wives is with Cain and his descendants. God meant me 10 that. God meant one man and one woman. For all eternity. Now, I know sin happens and things come. We serve a God, listen, that forgives. But that's not God's will and plan, friend. There's one man and one woman.
Amen.
Not two men. Never been two men.
No, God ain't never recognized
two men. And God ain't never going to recognize two women.
No, either. He
is. Hey, listen, man might. The government might. The clerk's office might. But I'm telling you, God don't. Not from His Bible. Or recognize that one out. For one hour that He sees that He's sin. And He'll be took care of. And in Genesis 34, hey, there's a little girl, she's about 14 years old. Her name's Dinah. Right there in Genesis 34. Hey, listen, they're living down there in a place. They're close to Shechem. Now, wait a minute. Old Dinah goes down to Shechem to meet with the girls of the town. She's a curious little girl. And she wants to go down and get with the other girls. You know how kids are. They want to get out and play around. But some half a brother. She goes down there and she gets raped. And she goes down there and she gets defiled by the prince of Shechem. Oh, what happens is her brothers, Simeon and Levi, they find out. Listen, Jacob, he's trying to keep this thing together. But Simeon and Levi ain't going to let it go. And they go down and check them. And they kill the whole place. They kill every man down there. Every beast down there.
Yeah.
And the Bible says brought great shame upon their father Jacob. Why is that? Because a little girl went down to a place where she had no business
being.
But I don't entirely blame her, brother. I don't entirely blame her. Are you listening to me now?
God told Jacob back in Genesis 32.
That's right, brother.
You're supposed to be in Bethel.
Yep.
So he met his brother Esau in Padanarama, and they got things fixed up right and reconciled. He felt pretty good, so he stayed in Shechem.
Yeah.
So Daddy was where he wasn't even supposed to be at in the first place.
Yep.
And then another thing about Dinah, I kind of feel this way about her. She grew up in a home. She's the only girl there. And they said her mama's always trying to chase around Daddy and talk.
Yeah.
I want Daddy's affection. Hey, because Daddy don't pay no attention to her. Daddy's out doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Mama's always chasing Daddy. Meanwhile, little Dinah's growing up down here. Hey, listen, she's not feeling any love. She's not feeling any affection.
Hey,
old Daddy's out here chasing Rachel while Leah's chasing Daddy. Sounds like our society, don't it? And a little 14-year-old girl goes down and gets in trouble. Then everybody looks at the 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
How about we look at Mommy and Daddy? Are you listening to me? We live in a society today, the women's out chasing the men's out chasing the women, and the men's out chasing the men, and the women's out chasing the women. And we got a society full of young kids, that are growing up out on the right hand from the left. All they know is what's built on the internet, TV. And they get out here, and they get in trouble. And we say, why in the world did that happen? Maybe because you take responsibility and get where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do.
Hey,
marked for life.
Amen.
She's marked for life now.
That's good, preacher, buddy.
You don't read much about her after that. She don't ever get married.
No.
She don't ever have no kids. She don't ever do nothing, brother. She's marked for life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, she shouldn't have went out there. She's 14. 14-year-olds, you're going to do get out there stupid stuff. Hey, listen, when they turn, after they turn, get ready to turn 13, I told Brother Jamie Newsom what we ought to do with all our kids that when they get ready to turn 13, is we're going to make a box and put a hole in it. And put the kids in the box with a hole in it. Give them their food 3 times a day. When they turn 21, open the door up and let them go. We ain't got to deal with them from age 13 to age 20. We just keep them locked right up there. I wish we could call and maybe selection year and get that put on the bill somewhere. I'm telling you, hey, some of these kids be better off if that was happening. Because of the bill and the wickedness that goes on in the wrong home. It's a shame. Listen to me. Somebody needs to preach this truth this early right here. It's a shame my wife, as she teaches 8th grade in 1 year, some kid will go from 4 or 5 different daddies or 4 or 5 different mommies. Or one grandparent to an aunt, or some old drunk cousin that they don't know. That's a sad society. When we got a society, that's like that. And then we'll put some Bible verse on Facebook and push our chest out and live as we can and buy it and tell it to him.
Amen.
Somebody needs to preach this truth.
Yeah, her, buddy.
Keep on preaching.
Amen.
And the 14-year-old girl, everybody looks at her.
Yeah.
But if they would have done what they supposed to have done, brother, she wouldn't have been marked for life.
That's right.
I brought my kids up in church. They've been to camp meetings. They've heard the best preacher in this country. We tried. Me and my wife tried our best to live godly and right before them. Are you listening? Ain't no guarantees for me. If they grow up and they choose to buck against this and run away and go do their own thing, me and my wife can lay our head down a shirt at night and be and say, we took them to church.
Absolutely. Amen.
We're not before. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we got issues. Just like everybody else, but we're trying the best that we can. Hey, but listen, look at me, friend. As I'm preaching to you today, I've got little boys, young men and young women, that are watching me, that are depending on me. I shall live right for God and do right for God. I've got 2 girls and a wife and a family that's depending on me. I shall do right for God. I've got little girls and boys that sing this choir that look at me and are depending on me, brother. I shall live right for God. And why would I want to throw out away and mark them and mark me for the rest of my life?
That's good.
Won't you look at it that way?
That's good.
Won't you look at it that way?
Yeah, amen.
I worked with a man one time, a very godly man. I worked with a real godly man. He had a little on his desk. He had a sign that said, "What I do today affects," and he had his wife's name and his kid's name. He said, "What I do today, good or bad, will affect this one and this one and this one." He looked at that every day he come in the office. He looked at that every day he left the office. He looked at that right there. Hey, listen, how much better would our world be if we said it ain't about me? It's about them. It ain't about me having a big eye time. It's about me doing right. For them. It ain't got a choice in the matter. It's about me living right. For them. It's about me getting fixed up my life right. Because I don't want them to be marked for life.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Are you listening to me today? Are you listening to me? It'll mark you. For the rest of your life. Sin will hunt you. Mm-hmm. Sin will haunt you.
Amen.
Sin will hinder you. You know where else sin will be found out? Down in your heritage and your family.
Yep.
Don't think you just gonna play around. It's my life. I just do what I want to do.
No.
No. Bible says no man liveth to himself.
No man dies.
No man dies to himself. Whether you live or you die, you're the Lord's. And whatever you do, friend, it affects the people that you live. It affects your wife. It affects your husband. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. Hey, before you spout out at the mouth and say that thing, think about how this is going to affect my children. Before you run down there and make this decision out of haste, think about how this is going to affect my children. How this is going to affect my husband. How it's going to affect my wife. How it's going to affect my home. Hey, think about that. Because nobody lives himself. No man dies. Whether you live or die, you die to the Lord.
Amen.
Think about that. Did you know forsaking God will mark you for the rest of your life? What do you mean? Book of John, Bible says that Jesus, and I can show you in the scripture, Jesus gave several little warnings as they went closer and closer to this day where Judas is going to betray him. Jesus gave several little warnings to Judas. He was speaking to all of them, but he was directed at Judas. And remember one time where he said, "One of you is going to betray me," and they all jumped up and said, "Is it I?" I mean, they had no idea that it was Judas. But God gently and tenderly, Brother Gerd, he dropped little hints and he dropped little warnings to him about, you better get this right in your life. Did you know that that's the way God will do you and me before?
Yep.
Listen, before we get to a place where we just totally forsake God. Brother Gary just said, it don't happen overnight.
No.
You just don't wake up one morning and just go out here and live like a devil. Yeah, it's a gradual process that takes place. You begin entertaining sin or things that you would let go on. You never used to. Things you'll start saying that you never used to say. And it's a gradual process. And just slowly, I get the hold of you before you know it. And you're so far gone. Hey, about 4 foot, God, listen to me. Hey, let's hear John. Hey, listen, he writes this. He said, Jesus said, it is him who dips the stop or who takes the bread with me. Right there at that table with all the disciples. Right there with Jesus was Judas. And Judas got up from the fellowship. And Judas walked away and forsake the Lord. You say, why did he leave? He left the bread that was on the table.
Amen.
Left the bread. That's the Word of God. You start turning off the Word of God. You start running from truth. You start finding fault. You're going to get in a mess.
Amen.
You may get marked for life if you leave the bread. What else was there? Well, the blood was there. It was the wine.
Yes,
there was in the blood. He got up, walked away from that blood.
Thanks,
he said, I could do it on my own. That's the way some of you are. I don't need that old bloody religion.
Yeah,
I just do it myself.
Yeah.
I can go my own way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're in trouble, friend.
Right.
If you do that, you leave the bread. You leave the blood. A third thing is still the deal, brother. He left the bread and then was sitting there.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're just going to be an isolationist. I don't need the church and everything. I just do this on my own.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't need to go down there and be involved in no church and faithful to no church. I just do this on my own.
I can just set up TV and watch TV. I can get a blessing on my, not like if you're in the house of God.
That's right,
you're going the wrong way. You say, I don't like going down there. Listen, if you're sick and you can't go, you're listening to this over the internet, there's something wrong with you. You can't make it out of the house of God. Hey, but let me tell you something right now, friend. If you just lay around and you just don't come because you don't want to come, there's problems down in your heart. You need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So Judas left the blood, he left the bread, he left the book. Forsook God. Marked for life. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, and this is sad. Jesus said that he would have been better had he not even been born. Can you imagine that? Like a little baby sitting on his mommy's lap back here. Judas at one time was a little boy sitting on his mommy's lap and he took a bottle. Should have never been born. Been better, listen, he would have miscarried. Never been born. God, ain't that sad and powerful? That's how serious it is when you forsake God.
That's right. That's
Jesus
right.
said he'd been better off as a little baby if he would have died than to knowingly go away from God, be marked for life, and the Bible says went to his own place, which is hell. Marked for life. Marked for life. What do you do about that, Brother Kevin? Oh, I think I'm marked for life. Well, the fact of the matter is, friend, we're everyone marked for life. Oh, you know that? We've all got something. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all, listen, come to a place in our life. Listen, you're either saved or you're not saved. Everybody in here has made poor decisions. Everybody's done something that follows them around and has marked them in some way deep down in their soul. Deep down in our minds, some may be more smart than others, but the fact of the matter is, we've all been marked in some way. What do you do about that? Well, God tried to help him before he marked him. God tried to help him, and God's trying to help you, friend. You say, Brother Kim, it's too late. I've done too bad. I'm marked up too bad. Oh, let me tell you, friend, it's never too late. I read about a man that was marked on a cross. I read about a man that was marked beside the Son of God. He was there, and there wasn't no hope for him. There wasn't no getting down from him. He was, listen, he was convicted. He was condemned. He was guilty of a crime. But I thank God that we serve a Savior that bore in his body the marks in him that we can have eternal life and we can have hell and deal with some of these things in life.
Good book here.
He was marked for you and for me.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
That's why he was beat at Gabbatha beyond a recognition. You couldn't even tell he was a man. He was wounded. He was beaten, battered. The Bible says his visage, which means his appearance,
marred.
Was marred more than any other sons of man. You can't even say it was a man.
No.
You know why? Because you was going to do something to get marked for life. Because I was going to do something to get marked for life.
Yes.
Hold on, he was taking it. He said that. Hey, listen, here's somebody that's going to make a bad decision. They're going to get themselves marked. Go ahead and hit me that whip because I'm going to give them somewhere they can go to and get some help. Boy, it ain't no wonder people, listen, they run and they get on everything in the world trying to find peace. They got all these marks down their soul that follows them around. They can't shake it. It just haunts them. Hey, let me tell you something. They need to get turned and to go to the right way. Hey, we serve a heart healer. A healer of the heart. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll come in and take that sweet balm of Gilead. He'll take that old hyssop that we read about in Exodus. He'll take that little dad to them marks in your body, of them marks to your soul.
Yeah.
He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy, and I'll give you rest and peace, not for your flesh, he said, for your soul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's who we serve.
Amen.
Let's all stand this morning. Brother Randall, will you sing us a song, brother? Brother Randall, sing the song. I don't care which one you want to sing, brother, whatever you want. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need prayer, this altar's open right now. You say, I've done too much. No, you're not. We've got a God here that loves you. Listen as he sings.
I have sweet peace and joy with thee. His blood is on my soul.
Listen.
His blood is on my soul, my soul. His blood is on my soul. I rest securely in His hand.
You need to come for prayer, friend, right now.
The tempter cannot
hold. You need to do business with God.
You can
come right now. This is the invitation time. I don't care what you've done, what kind of mess you're in now. We got a God that's in a healer of hurts. Won't you come and lay it on Him? If you want to be a Christian, you say, oh, mark my life so bad. No, listen. You can go to no place is too far with God. You're breathing air and you're here this morning. God's speaking to your heart, friend. You can get that thing took care of with God. Won't you come?
I'm ready for the crown.
Won't you come?
His blood is on my soul.
Won't you come?
His blood is on my soul, my soul.
Is His blood on your soul?
His blood is on my soul.
I want His blood on my marks, brother.
I rest securely in His hand. His blood is on
my soul. Won't you come?
I am determined by His grace to reach my heaven's goal.
Oh, we serve a wonderful God, friend. Maybe that's you, friend. Maybe whatever it is marked you. Won't you come? I like what He says in Revelation. I'll mark them and my little friends, those that are mine. What God says. He'll mark His people too. Won't you come? Can you say right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, can you say right now, Brother Kevin, if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Can you raise your hand if you know before I'm shut about I'm going to heaven? Well, look at the hands all over the building. Yeah. If you couldn't raise your hand, you don't know that you're going. You don't know that you're right. You say, Brother, this is a hard message today. It's hard truth. Listen, friend, God's going to get your attention and God's going to show you some things about your heart, just like He did with Cain. You don't have to step out into eternity like Judas, go to your own place. Don't leave the blood. Don't leave the bread. Don't leave the brethren. Come to Him. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm just going to ask you this one time. You want prayer. Can you just lift your hand and say, pray for me? Nobody look around. Nobody going to point you out. Say, pray for me. I'm lost. I want to be saved. I don't know if I'm going to or not. Can you do that? Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, I love You, Lord. I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. Thank You so much, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity here, Father. God, I pray, God, those that are here, Lord, that are under conviction, God, I pray, God, that You keep them under conviction, God, and You draw them to the place of repentance, Father. God, all the prayer requests that went up, Lord, the sick, Lord, that are here today, Father, those that are soul sick, Father, those that are emotionally sick, Lord, those that are struggling, God, every day, God, to just get from one place to another. You know about their burdens, Father. I pray, God, that You just come down and touch their hearts, Lord. I pray, God, that You give them some comfort and some peace, Lord. Maybe we got some, Lord, here today. They're battling with some sort of decision or they're something, I don't know what it is, in their life or some kind of issue in their home, Father. I pray, God, that You'll help them and comfort them and guide them, Lord. Give them the right direction, Lord. We know that You will. It's not that Your will, Lord, that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace and knowledge of the power of You. Thank You so much, dear God, for these wonderful children in this church, brothers and sisters that we have here. What bond that You bonded us together with here, Lord. God, I thank You for that, Father. Go with us this week as we leave here, Father. Please watch over every home. Please watch over every heart, Father. Lord, those homes in here that are with You, Father, I pray You hedge them up. Hedge these homes up, God. Hedge them up and protect them, Father, from the vials of the devil. Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Listen, next week, friend, be out here.